Well, we continue worshiping our God at this time with our scripture readings. Let me get those back up on the screen for you. We'll be reading from Daniel 3 and then from 2 Corinthians 1. Okay, hopefully you can see that on the screen in front of you. We'll start with our reading from Daniel 3, beginning at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And we turn to our next reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And this passage is also the central passage for our sermon this morning. Let's listen to more of God's word together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Amen. As we come to our message this morning, I'm going to take the reading off the screen here, and we'll have a word of prayer as we come to this portion of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, as we come to hear your words that we have just read, now proclaimed to us, we look to you to open our hearts and our minds. Send your Spirit, O Lord. Send your Spirit to help each of us to hear the voice of Christ our Savior as your word is proclaimed. And Lord, as we hear his voice, may our hearts be filled with greater love for you, and may we be emboldened and empowered to serve and honor you, even in a very challenging time as we go through this viral crisis in our nation. And Lord, we ask that you would give to me as your servant this morning, the one whom you have called and tasked with opening and declaring your word. Please, Father, give to me clarity of thought and of speech. Help me that the words I proclaim now will be exactly what you desire all who are listening to hear, that you will use these words to strengthen their faith, draw them near to yourself, and equip them to serve you unto your glory as we all together look forward to the day our Savior will come again for us and we will be in your presence forevermore. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in 2 Corinthians 1 once again this morning, and Lord willing, next week being Palm Sunday, we'll have an appropriate Palm Sunday sermon, and the following week, of course, as we celebrate Easter, we'll have an Easter sermon, and then hopefully around that time or shortly thereafter, we will be arriving in Missouri, and perhaps I'll resume the 1 John series. I haven't quite decided yet because of the format, but we'll be working through that. You can pray for me as I think about what works best. But this morning, we're back in 2 Corinthians 1, and I've called the sermon this morning, Comforted to Comfort. When we are panicked or afraid, it's very easy for us to become incredibly selfish, self-focused, self-centered. You know, we're thinking, what are my needs? Where am I hurting? How can my pain and my sorrow be assuaged and ministered to? And there's no question that there are times in our lives when we are the patient rather than the caregiver. And we certainly, every one of us, need comfort and encouragement and help and assistance. And so last week, we focused on that theme of God's comfort to us as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort who comes to meet us where we are, to meet us where our needs are, to help us where we are hurting and sorrowing, to help us with our fears, and so on. And we took some time to consider biblical examples of the various forms that God's comfort takes. We talked about his peace. We talked about the ways in which he comes to assure us, and so on. We tried to highlight what Paul wants us to think about in the phrase that he uses in verse 3 of this chapter when he calls God the God of all comfort. Today, I want to shift the focus a little bit and help us to understand and see that even as Paul wants to make certain through this letter and through the message of it, that you and I, in all of our suffering, oppression, challenges, difficulties, and so on, experience the comfort of God, he wants us at the same time to see, and this is what we want to focus on this morning, that it's not all about us. Without question, God in Christ is for you and for me. But the kind of comfort that God brings is a transforming comfort. It's not merely here to make us feel good, to minister to us when we're sorrowing and hurting and afraid. Certainly is that. But it comes also to so change us that we will be equipped to minister to and to comfort and encourage those who are around us. More than one commentator on this passage argues that that word that we usually translate as comfort carries much more the sense of our English word to encourage. So rather than being a kind of a feel-good sensation, it is a Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered, godly confidence boost. When God comes to comfort you and me, he comes through that comfort empowering us to be a comfort and encouragement to others. You see, when we use the word comfort itself, it can potentially become very self-focused and self-absorbed. Whereas when we use the term encourage, on the other hand, it immediately brings with it a sense of being focused on others rather than on ourselves. In other words, it's there to bless others and not just to keep to ourselves. Another writer put it like this. He said, this comfort that Paul is talking about that God brings, it is not some tranquilizing dose of grace that only dulls pains, but a stiffening agent that fortifies one in heart, mind, and soul. It strengthens weak knees and sustains sagging spirits so that one faces the troubles of life with unbending resolve and unending assurance. That's the kind of comfort God brings. He doesn't simply say, all will be well, I'm in control, be assured, be at peace. He comes as he gives that peace, as he gives that assurance, he is equipping us to press on in life and then to help others by his power to press on for his glory. So when we think of God as comforter, we need to think of that comfort like a coin that has two sides. On the one side is God as the comforter who brings that peace and the assurance and the serenity and the rest and so on. On the other side is God as the encourager. Now, these two go together. They're inseparable. We don't take them apart. So when you have that coin of God's comfort, you have both God who brings you that peace and rest and the God who comes to you as the encourager, equipping you to encourage others. On the comforter side, we can think, as we did last week, of that gentle, reassuring mother who comforts the crying boy or girl, helps to calm and settle the child so that the sobs subside. She dries the trickling tears from the child's cheeks. She gives hope and assurance, and most certainly God comes to us with this kind of care and compassion. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But that other side of the coin of God's comfort is the image of the inspiring athletic coach or the infantry officer whose men love him and trust him completely. He's the one who emboldens them in pursuing the enemy. They run into the face of battle, certainly scared, yet at the same time unafraid of what's thrown at them. They scale the cliff walls. They wrangle hand to hand against the enemy, and they win victory for the cause of righteousness, because their fearless captain knows how to motivate them and to spur them on. And that's a little taste, a little picture of the comforting encouragement of God, who not only, like a good coach, takes the athlete who has blown a play and puts his arm around him or her to comfort and say, it's all right, we'll get you back out there soon enough. But God also comes as our captain to say, go and win, for I am with you. Serve me and comfort others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God comes to comfort us so that we will be equipped to comfort others. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1:4. Paul writes about God, and he says, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God's comfort, Paul argues, comes to him, that is to Paul and to his team, so that he and they are enabled then to comfort and encourage the Corinthian Christians. As a matter of fact, Paul's point is actually even broader than that. He says that everything that he experiences, whether bad, suffering, oppression, etc., persecution, and so on, or even what is good, everything that he, Paul, experiences is for the benefit of others. If you have your Bibles open, take a look with me at verse 6. Paul says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Both Paul's comfort from God, as well as his own sufferings, are intended to be a blessing to others. God uses both the bad and the good, the hard and the easy, to equip us to bless others. Everything, Paul is saying, everything we are, everything we have, is not for ourselves alone, but is to serve Christ by serving others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Peter puts it this way, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, both Paul and Peter make the point that what God gives us, whether gifts and abilities and talents, or even the sufferings we experience, together with the comfort that God himself brings to us, all of these things he wants us to put to use, not to keep them for ourselves. There's a commercial, I think it's for the LifeLock Identity Theft Protection Service. And in this particular commercial, the scene is in a bank, and these robbers in masks and with baseball bats come breaking into the bank, and they're smashing glass, and they're yelling at everybody to get down because they're here to rob the bank. And there's a man standing there who is very calm and collected, and he looks like a security guard. He has the uniform on, he has the hat on, the badge, and so on. And he's just standing there. And there are people that are they're lying on the floor as they're afraid of these robbers, and they whisper to him, aren't you going to do something? And he responds, and he says, I'm not a security guard. I'm just a security monitor. I tell you when somebody is robbing you or breaking in. And so I'm telling you now, there's a robbery going on. What use is he to that bank and to those people who are there afraid of these robbers? Well, Paul's point is that neither he as an apostle and his team with him, nor we are just monitors who receive things and do nothing. Instead, everything that happens to us, God uses to equip us to bring the comfort and encouragement of Christ to others. Paul says, look, O Corinthian Christians, what I have experienced together with my team, both bad and good, is not for us alone. The comfort that God has brought us, we now bring it to you so that just as you share in our sufferings and suffering for Christ, so you can experience the comfort of Christ. Here it is. We've tasted of it. We now share it with you. Now, it's very important to realize that the power to comfort and encourage is not in Paul himself and in his team. It's all in Christ. It comes because of their union with Christ. Look at verse 5. Paul writes, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." In a sense, we could describe Paul and his team as the channel through which Christ's comfort and encouragement is brought to us. Because the suffering he's undergone and that he is now undergoing is all in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The comfort he's received is in association with his life as a servant and apostle of Jesus. And so the power of comfort and the power of encouragement is not in Paul and his team. It's not in you and me. It's in Jesus and in the Spirit whom he gives to us. But he used Paul to be the channel as one who had already been comforted to bring that same comfort to the Corinthian Christians. And so Paul doesn't keep it to himself. He's not selfish with that gift. He takes that gift and by the Spirit's power, in union with Christ, puts it to good use to strengthen, encourage, and empower the Corinthians. And it's important for you and me to be reminded over and over that yes, Paul it has a very distinct and special role as an apostle. But in this particular case, he's a model for you and me. As he argues elsewhere, all of our gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, are to be used to bless the church, to bless our brothers and sisters in Jesus. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12:7. And so your own suffering and the encouragement you receive from the Lord in the midst of it is not for you alone, but to be used, to be shared as the gift of Christ to others. You, brothers and sisters, are comforted so you can comfort. You are encouraged by Christ so that you can encourage others in the name of Jesus and by the power of his Spirit. Now there are some among us who are so godly and to whom God has given a special temperament that they are comforters and encouragers even when they are the primary sufferer I'm always delighted and amazed when I meet with people and I visit them in the hospital at their bedside or wherever, and they end up being more encouraging than I am to me than I am to them. Some of us, to some of us, God gives that kind of gift. But I think for most of us, we do better comforting and encouraging after we've come through our hardship. And that's kind of what Paul is bringing out in this passage. Brothers and sisters, you have hard things in your lives. Right now, we're facing as a nation and as a world this virus, and it can be frightening. But God comes, and he gives you and me comfort. And as we are comforted and we are at ease and peace because we are trusting him and we know he is with us, then we can turn around and in the name of Jesus, both comfort and encourage each other, but also be witnesses to the comfort of Christ to those who don't yet believe in him. Now, sometimes our suffering can seem meaningless or pointless. But here's the power of Christ. He redeems even apparently pointless suffering, and he gives it great meaning. He saves it from emptiness and transforms it into a powerful tool to comfort and encourage others. So I think sometimes when we're suffering, we're tempted to think that our own suffering is meaningless and useless, and what good does it do? But here, you see, when Paul says the comfort that comes to us, we now use it to comfort and to encourage you. So when you are comforted and encouraged by Christ, even in the midst of what seems like pointless suffering, what's happening is you are at a minimum being equipped that much more to comfort and encourage others in Jesus' name. So the question is, how are we comforted? And how are we then to comfort and encourage others? So Paul's theme is that the comfort with which we're comforted, we're to comfort, we're to encourage others. The question is, well, how do we go about doing that? Well, first, we need to remind one another of God's precious and great promises. 2 Peter 1:4. As David says in Psalm 139, verses 17 to 18, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you." You see, God's thoughts, his promises are so vast, so large, they cover every possible situation in which you and I find ourselves. And so David recognizes, he's reminded of and comforted by God's presence as he is reminded of God's thoughts, God's promises. That's what he has in mind when he speaks of how precious God's thoughts are to him and how vast they are. Those thoughts from God's word, his promises, are what comforts David. And so how do we encourage each other in the face of sorrow and suffering? Well, the answer, the first part at least to the answer, is that we go to each other and remind one another of those vast promises of God. They refresh us and they empower us. They comfort and equip us to persevere. You see, God has so designed us as human beings that when we hear words of promise, words that remind us of what God has said he will do, words that remind us of his glories and of his greatness, words that remind us of his care and concern. God has so wired us and designed us that when we hear those things, our spirits are lifted up as his spirit works through that word in our hearts. And so his promises refresh and empower us. And so, brothers and sisters, as you're refreshed and empowered and encouraged by those promises, go and take them and share them with one another and share them with the world that they too might know Christ. A second way in which we comfort and encourage one another is this. It is by sharing and reminding each other of the stories of God's past actions and victories. Now, this is still part of sharing his word with each other, but I think it's distinct enough. It's inseparable from the word of God, but it's distinct enough that we can mention it separately. You see, we are encouraged, and we encourage others by pointing to what God has done in the past, as that's reported to us in the pages of Scripture. In Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 4, Paul puts it this way, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." What he has in mind certainly is all of the Word of God, but I think especially as he is wanting to give us hope and encouragement, it's a reminder to go back to all the stories of God's creative work in Genesis 1, of his meetings with Abraham, of his appearance to Moses in the burning bush, of how he brought Israel out of Egypt through the sea while they walked on dry land as he parted those waters, and all the many miracles of Jesus as he says to that little girl, I say to you, arise, as he touches the lame and heals them, and he opens the eyes of the blind. You see, the way that we ourselves are encouraged and how we can therefore encourage one another is to remind each other of the work of God, of the work of Christ, of the power of the Spirit, and say, look at what he did before. And though he may not do exactly those same things today, it's that same God that we know and love and serve and worship, and he still is powerful and on his throne. We need to be taught and reminded of what God did at other times, because in that way, God himself is revealed to us and inspires us to press on. And even when we don't experience firsthand his saving arm, maybe we do suffer, maybe we do become ill, even with dreaded viruses, maybe we even die from them. But we know this. We know that we can have an attitude like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, you can try to force us to worship your gods and your statues and to follow where you want to lead us away from our God. But know this right now, even if we are burnt to a crisp in that fiery furnace, we will ever and always only serve and worship the living God because we know him. And we know that if it's his will at that point that we suffer in that way and indeed die, we know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so we will not worship any other. And so we encourage one another through these stories, and when we hear them, they become models and examples for us through Christ, so that we can say our God does not change, and even if we still have to suffer, we can be confident that he is with us, and those stories remind us of that truth. And so this is yet another way that we encourage one another and give comfort, by pointing to the great deeds of God over the years as we look forward to his return to take us to be with him. And thirdly, God uses each of us to comfort others by our presence with them. In James chapter 1, verse 27, James says this, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." We serve, as some have put it, as the hands and feet of God on earth. By being present, we remind one another that God has not left us alone. Now, of course, in our social distancing situation with the current COVID-19 crisis, we might not be able physically to be present. We might not be able to literally go and visit orphans and widows and others who are suffering in their afflictions. That is a means that God has given us ordinarily to simply be with each other as a reminder, ultimately, that God himself, Jesus himself, the Spirit himself is with us. But even now, when we have to practice social distancing and we're not able physically to be present, we can still be present to one another through our phone calls and through our notes and messages to one another. We can find creative ways to be able to remind each other of that presence of God. And the Lord uses these tools both to bring comfort and encouragement to help us persevere and to become those who are comforting and encouraging others with the gospel of Jesus. I want to close then with this. Undergirding all of the ways in which we are encouraged and we encourage others is the Holy Spirit. I already said earlier that the comfort that Paul experienced and with which he comforted the Corinthians, and therefore the comfort we experience and with which we comfort others, is all from Christ. It's not from ourselves. And so we need to be thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he is in and behind and over and controlling all of the comfort that we experience and that we give to others and that encouragement that we experience and through which we encourage others. He is, the Spirit is, that other helper of John 14. He's the one called the comforter and encourager. He's the one that makes the words that we speak effective. We have no power in ourselves. He's the one who delivered those great and vast and precious promises which we remind one another of. And that Spirit is the one who is still at work. As you are comforted and encouraged, and then you go to comfort and encourage others, know that the Spirit goes before you and he goes with you, for he is the great comforting encourager, a gift from God the Father sent to us through God the Son. And so, brothers and sisters, as we go through trials of all sorts in life, whether we think of the viral crisis at present, or our own personal sufferings and difficulties, the encouragement that God brings to you and me is not something we're to hoard selfishly. But that encouragement and that comfort comes to you and me through Jesus by his Spirit, so that we will then be equipped to go and comfort and encourage each other in the name of Jesus to the glory of the Father, together with the Son and the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you are the God who comes in comfort and the God who comes as our encourager. We thank you for encouraging us through your word. for comforting us through your promises and for sending your Spirit who takes all of these good things and equips us that we might comfort and encourage others through your promises, helping them to see and to know that you, O Lord, love us, and that your Son has done all that we need, and that your Spirit has made him known to us, and that you give us life forevermore. Lord, equip us to be these kinds of comforters and encouragers for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.